So Calvin is speaking to his tiger friend Hobbes, and he says, "What are you going to dress up for Halloween?" And Hobbes says, "I don't know yet. I can't decide." Calvin says, "Well, the idea is to be the scariest thing you can think of." And Hobbes makes a terrible tiger face, and he says, "Maybe I'll just go as myself." And Calvin says, "I'm going as a barrel of toxic waste." In our reading today from Isaiah, the prophet writes to his people, a people who have become disillusioned and hopeless after decades of exile in Babylon and have now returned to their homeland, but still things aren't all that great, even at home. Progress in rebuilding the city of Jerusalem is slow. Progress in rebuilding the temple is slow. They're still surrounded by all of these hostile and antagonistic peoples who were around them before and have now become more powerful because they've been off in Babylon for all of these decades. For the most part, the agricultural land, the farms and what have you, still need to be rebuilt. There's a lot of work to be done, and it's going very slowly, and the people are losing heart and losing hope. So Isaiah writes to them, "On this mountain, that is Mount Zion, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken." John of Patmos writes to the seven churches of Asia Minor, exhorting them to remain faithful in the face of persecution and hardship, which they are receiving because of their visible practice of following Jesus. You are familiar with some of the bizarre and bewildering imagery in Revelation, no doubt, imagery which we will not be able to even begin to dissect today. But at the end of the book, John reveals his vision of God's restoration of creation, a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. And there God is to make his home among mortals, and he will wipe away every tear, an echo of what we just read from Isaiah. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, and all things will be made new. In the 11th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus restores his friend Lazarus to life, even after he's been dead for 4 days. There's that remarkable statement in the reading, "The dead man came out," not the man who was formerly dead. The dead man came out. He says to Martha, the dead man's sister, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Today we celebrate All Saints' Day, which, at least for us Protestants, is a celebration of the lives of all of those who have died in Christ. It is a reminder, as Isaiah and John assure us, that death is not going to win, and it never has. Today we will celebrate the Lord's Supper together. There is an ancient tradition of the Church, Catholic or universal, which states that when the faithful gather to share the Lord's Supper, saints from all times and all places are also present. The directory for worship of our denomination contains a few statements about what happens at the Lord's table. The Lord's Supper is the sign and seal of eating and drinking in communion with the crucified and risen Lord. In the Lord's Supper, the church gathered for worship gratefully anticipates the fulfillment of the kingdom of Christ proclaimed and offers itself in obedient service to God's reign. The New Testament describes the meal as a participation in Christ and with one another in the expectation of the kingdom and as a foretaste of the messianic banquet. At the table, the people call upon the Holy Spirit to unite them in communion with all the faithful in heaven and on earth. And around the table of the Lord, God's people are in communion with Christ and with all who belong to Christ. With all who belong to Christ. In the great thanksgiving that's preceding our communion today, we will pray this. Rejoicing in the communion of saints, we remember with thanksgiving all your faithful servants and those dear to us whom you have called from this life. We are grateful that for them death is no more, nor is there sorrow or crying or pain, for the former things have passed away. We will also recite the Apostles' Creed in just a moment. And in the Creed, we affirm this, among other things: I believe in the communion of saints, all of those who have come before us, those who are alive in the flesh today, and those who will follow us, who live in faithful service to Christ and therefore to others. Death will be no more. He will swallow up death forever. These are the affirmations of Scripture in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. They are our affirmations that this life is not all there is. The finality of death is an appearance, not a reality. The communion of saints is an everlasting communion. Christ has defeated death. Thanks be to God. Amen.